Father, we praise you. We thank you, Lord, for those who have so just given into the global work there at Mexico, for the poor children, to build the homes that we do, Lord, and go to the orphanage, all the things that happen. Bless them, Lord. And this morning, Father, as we approach you, we do so by virtue of our relationship with Jesus Christ, who died for us, who took our place, who paid for our sins, who lives in our hearts, the great shepherd of the sheep, our great high priest, the one who never will leave us nor will forsake us, the one who makes us, Lord, to lie down in green pastures, and the one who leads us besides the wonderful still waters, the one who restores our soul. He's in our midst, and we're so thankful that he is, that he is here near to each and every heart. And, oh, Father, you know the need of your people. You know the need of those in the overflow area, those that are listening live. You know their needs. Somehow, some way, as you always do, touch your people, the sheep of your pasture. Be so real to them, O God. Save those who are lost. Heal those who are ill. God, visit those who need visitation. This morning, as you always do, somehow help me to teach this last word that you've given us for this summer. Lord, help me. Let me hold nothing back. Give me perfect revelation from the throne room of heaven to this place called Calvary Fort Worth. And Lord, as we lift up the mission team that's returning, let their journey be absolutely perfect today, each one arriving home safely tonight. And Lord, we lift up again Harley, that you touch his body. Bring healing to it, O Lord. And bring healing to any of those that are ill today as well. Now, we love you, we praise you, in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Amen. Let's turn to the book of Haggai in the Old Testament. There between, I think, Zephaniah, you'll find it's toward the end of the Old Testament, right before the book of Zechariah. Look at Haggai with me. We're going to be in chapter 1, only going to cover 11 verses and maybe a few in chapter 2. And, you know, this word that we have this morning, let me just read a few scriptures to you from Haggai chapter 1. It opens up, it says, in the second year of King Darius, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, and it came to two people, Zerubbabel. Now, he is the governor there in Jerusalem, back in Judah. And then to Joshua, now he is the high priest. And it says, thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this people says the time has not come, the time that the temple or the Lord's house should be built. And then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your luxury homes or your paneled houses and this temple or this house to lie in ruins? Now, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Say that with me. Consider your ways. You've sown much, you brought in little. You eat and you don't have enough to drink, or you drink and you don't have you're not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. But he who earns wages to put them into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. What are those three words again? Let's say them. Consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the temple, that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, saith the Lord. You looked for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because my house that is in ruins, while every one of you runs to his own house, therefore the heavens above you withhold the dew, the earth withholds the fruit. For I have called for a drought on the land and on the mountains and on the grain, the new wine, the oil, and whatever the ground brings forth on men and livestock and all who labor, or all the labor of your hands. Now, before you think, oh my gosh, is this going to be a fire and brimstone thing? It's not. This is a good word. God says this morning to us, he wants us to consider our ways. Now, I know that we have had a series, and we've talked about reality and illusion, the things that are happening in our nation, the country that we love. But I do want to talk about our country for just a little bit before I get into the message. You know, June 2015, remember, as we all know now, has been called the month that changed America. We've looked at the heartbreaking massacre of the pastor and the people of the congregation there in Charleston, the horrible racism that's existing in our world, and the Confederate flag there finally being removed and so forth. You know, we should have the American flag, amen? And you know, I look at all these things, and we see and with shocking results in our hearts, we don't quite know how to handle and take the things that are occurring. You know, with, say, Bruce Jenner, I'm not speaking anything evil about or condemning this person, not judging. I don't have time to judge anyone. Amen. But at the same time, he's become like the poster child or the poster man or poster person for the transgender community and so forth. So we look at these things and we see the shocking results, and we are shocked. We look at the day on Dark Friday, June 26th, when our Supreme Court removed the oldest or redefined the oldest foundation in the world's history, and that is they redefined marriage. And they passed the law to where same-sex marriage is now available by law in all 50 states in America. And remember when that ruling occurred, our president said it was a victory there for America. And here we are now all this is past. And here we are now, and I know that in our hearts, it's like we don't really recognize our country anymore. We love our country. We're glad we're Americans. But at the same time, we just don't recognize it because the old ways, the foundations have passed away right before our eyes. When I was in high school many, many years ago, like 4 or 5, I read a book by Thomas Wolfe called, and it was You Can't Go Home Again. Maybe you read that book. He said in that book, you can't go home again because it's just a mothball of memories in your mind. It's like if some of you who, you know, you went away to the war, remember back in the 60s, and you went drafted or whatever into the military, and you were gone 2, maybe 3, some 4 years. And then all of a sudden you come back. You left when you were 18, you come back, you're 21. And then all of a sudden you go, everything's changed. Everything looks different. My nation has changed. Well, that's what's happened before our very eyes right now. And this is what we need to understand. There are not any roads leading back to what we used to know. They're not there now. They've been completely removed. And so the America that we knew in May, the month of May, is no longer there. It has vanished before our very eyes. And now more than ever, Christians, as I have talked with them, they realize now more than ever, Bill, you know what? I love America, and I've really put a lot of stock in it and so forth, and thank God we did. We love our country. We pray for our country. But we realize that even though we're Americans, this is not our home. Amen. We live here, but we're simply passing through. We're not of this world, and that's a good thing. And the reason I say that is because so many believers have been shocked, if you will, back into reality. And if you feel at home in this world that we live in, I would suggest that you maybe go before the Lord and get your heart right, okay? Because this is not our home. The Bible says, calls each of us, said we are pilgrims. That's not John Wayne talking. That's the Word of God, okay? That we're pilgrims. A pilgrim is like a foreigner. We are resident aliens, if you will. We're the true aliens. We're temporary residents in a post-Christian culture now that's in our country, America. The Bible tells us in Philippians 3:20, for our citizenship is in heaven, by which we eagerly wait for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you eagerly waiting for him? Because see, heaven, that is our destination. See, we are passing through. We are marching through this land. We are marching to the homeland, that celestial city, that place called heaven. And heaven is a real place. Amen? Now, with all that being said, we need to remember, like what Jesus told us. He said in John 15:19, Jesus said, you know what? You are not of this world. He said, I chose you out of this world. And he chose us out of this world for good things, for good works. We're his new creations. Amen? Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Not only that, as we know very well that the Matthew 5:14, Jesus told us who we really, really are. We are the light of the world, Jesus said. That's who we are. Actually, you could read it like this in the Greek. You are the only light in the world. There's not another light except the light of our Lord. Now, we have 165 days left in 2015. And I want you to listen to me very carefully this morning, as this is my last chance, in a sense, unless the Lord, you know, interrupts me in the book of Acts, to speak to you in this manner. You know, I know that we love the Lord. I know that you love the Lord. I know that you want to serve Him with all of your heart. And I know that you want to love your neighbor as yourself. I know that you want to have a prayer time. I know that you want to find your gifting. I know you want to walk in the Spirit. I know you want to be led by the Spirit. But we have to really be determined to do that. And the reason I say that is, with everything falling apart as we've seen in our nation, I can only imagine, with 165 days that we have left, the massive changes that will still be coming throughout this year. You know, I tremble this morning, and I say this, I'm not a politician. I don't know all the facts. I wasn't at any of the negotiations with Iran about the nuclear deal that Congress still has to vote on. But when I see a people that I know that don't like us, it's kind of hard for me to rejoice. Amen? And not only that, I mean, just this weekend, as I saw on the news, there they are chanting, yeah, well, we're working on this deal, praise the Lord, or whatever, but yet they're calling us the great Satan. Amen? And what did the Ayatollah say? They were chanting, death to America and death to Israel. Well, may I tell you that nothing has changed, except it looks like they're going to get a lot of money from us, okay? Now, you say, well, Bill, we had to do something. I don't know anything about how it worked out. I just know that I have a problem shaking hands with my enemy. You understand? So I look, I said, Lord, what in the world is going to happen this year? And you say, well, Bill, that's depressing. Oh, no. See, I know what we need to do. We need to do what God has already told us to do. Let's go back. What was the New Year's sermon? If there has ever been a divine word given to this church in the time frame that we're living in right now, boy, divine determination. Is that a word for this church? Absolutely. And if we're not divinely determined with His determination living in our heart this year, moving forward no matter what we see, we're not going to be able to do what God has called us to do. We have to believe with all of our hearts that we have His determination in us. Remember, our scripture for the new year was Luke 9:51. It says, and when His time, meaning when Jesus' time had come, and He knew that He was about to be received up, literally received up unto heaven, what did Jesus do? It says that He set His face toward Jerusalem. In the NSA, it says He was determined. It meant that nothing and no one, not the power of hell, not man, not government, no one could stop our Lord from going to Jerusalem to die for our sins, the sins of the world, to take our place. Amen? And that divine determination, the word for the year, remember, lives in our heart. Remember, the word determined means that we have made a firm decision right now, not only in our minds, but in our heart. We will not let anyone or anything, no matter what it is, stop us. And the reason is because we have His divine determination living in our hearts. Amen? Well, Bill, I don't have it. Yes, you do. Colossians 1:27. What does it say? Christ in me, the hope of glory. The Spirit of the Lord has met with our spirit, where we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit of Christ has come into our heart. We have everything we need to move forward, no matter what this culture is telling us, no matter what we're seeing. We have Jesus' life. We have Jesus' power. We have Jesus' presence. We have the here-ness and the now-ness of God. God is a supernatural God, and we are a supernatural people. Amen? Don't ever forget that. Not only that, do we share His life and so forth. You cannot separate Christianity from the person of our Lord. He lives in us. We are His. He empowers His followers. Now, with all of that being said, what this church, I don't know what the other churches are going to do. We're all one, I know, corporately, but this church particularly, what we do for the Lord for the rest of 2015 and beyond, should the Lord tarry, will be determined by you. It will be determined by me. I was thinking the other day of 9/11, and I remember standing before this church. There was not one seat empty. As a matter of fact, we had to put out more seats. The overflow was full. All the area, there was not an empty seat in this church. And you know what was amazing on 9/11? Everyone got here before service started. Yes. And when they came in, there was like a holy hush in this chapel. No one was talking. Everyone was waiting. What was going to be said today? What do we do? I remember the sermon I preached, but I'll not tell you about it in case I don't quote it right. Lighten up.